Okay, well, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 192. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And I never thought that we would somehow get a guest to talk about the Schumacher Batmans. But we have a Batman fan here. Javi, how's it going?
Hey, it's going good.
And we almost had two people to talk about. I know. It was really close to having two people come on to talk about the Schumacher Batmans.
And I'm guessing, I have to guess that, like, probably both of you are probably bigger Batman experts than me. But, I mean, I'm a fan of Batman.
I don't know if I'd call myself an expert. I like the movies a lot. I like the idea of the character a lot. I watch the animated series, and that's about it.
I've collected comic books. Like, I would not say I'm an expert on Batman, but I like, it's, like, the longest running comic book that I collect, so...
Okay, so I think we're probably we're all pretty similar. I know if we got Earl here, I mean, he knows Batman.
He is Batman.
So maybe he'll show up at some point during the episode. But yeah, I'm kind of, you know, the way Javi described himself, I'm pretty similar. Like, you know, I grew up on these movies. I loved the animated series when I was a kid, and like Batman is probably still my favorite of all like the superheroes. But like. Again, I never was huge into reading comics. For a short period, I did, but I read like Image comics. So,
Wow,
Spawn,
baby. Nice.
But yeah. So, anyways, so we've been going through like those core like Batman movies. You know, starting with Tim Burton's 89 Batman. Why are we doing this?
It's a good question, Jeff. Why are we doing this?
I wanted to do more like just franchise reviews. I like doing them. They're fun, you know? Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, I decided this one first, like these old Batman movies. I think it was because one of the podcasts I listened to is We Hate Movies. I'm sure I've brought it up on here many times, but in December they did like a We Love Movies month where it was like each week it was one of their favorite movies of all time. And they just talked about that for like 2 hours. One of them was Batman 1989, and listening to that, I was like, oh man, I kind of want to like see that again. I haven't seen that in a long time. So combining those two ideas, all of a sudden I'm like, hey, Chris, let's do those old Batman movies. So that's how we got into this fucking fiasco.
You guys should have started with the Adam West movie, the Batman movie. Have you seen that?
I have. Yeah.
That's great.
That's been a long, long time, too.
I bet if you included that, it would be one of your top picks of the bunch.
It probably would, because it is going for a very certain feel.
Yeah, I love it. It's great.
Which, I mean, we'll talk about shortly, because I think there's somebody going for a very certain feel.
Sure.
Yeah, I saw that one when I was a kid, and I liked it like when I was a kid.
Yeah. He like punches a shark that's attached to his leg.
Yep.
And Robin opens the little cabinet in their bat helicopter, and it has like anti shark bat spray or whatever. I don't know. It's over the top.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you didn't get a chance to rewatch these, right, Javi, before we were going to talk about them?
Fortuitously, I saw Batman Forever maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago, just I missed it. You know, I felt like watching it.
So
and I really enjoyed Batman Forever.
Something's been in there, I guess. Yeah. Okay, I mean, that's cool. But like, it seems like you remember these movies pretty well.
We're going
back and forth on Twitter. For me personally, like, I don't think I've seen any of those old Batman movies since the 90s. Really.
Wow.
Last week, I think I gave Batman 1989 and Batman Returns both three stars.
Out of five?
Yes.
Okay.
And I want to say Chris gave 89 three stars and Batman Returns two.
This is true.
Gotcha.
My reasoning with Batman Returns is like, I like how fucking twisted it is and how weird it is. Like, it's just kind of a fascinating movie. Like,
the soundtrack also is really cool. Like, Danny Elfman turned up that, like you said, twisted, dark kind of feel to it.
And, you know, like, I liked, I don't know. It's just crazy. I liked Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman. It's just an oddity. It's a weird movie, and so like I kind of dig it. And even like though it's darker and it's like over sexualized, there's like still like fucking penguins with like missiles and shit in it. And, I like his gang in it. Like all those clowns or whatever, really cool.
It's also like how much of that movie could you like take a screenshot out of and like make a wallpaper with? Like that movie is just visually really cool looking.
Yeah.
I love when Selena turns into Catwoman in her apartment and then you see like her silhouette at the window and she has her her neon light behind her that used to say hello there and now it says hell here. Mm. We have that neon light actually in our house. It's cool. But
so yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like where we landed on those. Like, also one more thing about Batman Returns is like watching that, like gave me like weird flashbacks to playing the game, like the Batman Returns game on Super Nintendo.
Yes. Awesome.
but it was like, so going back into it last week was like, man, like, I was hoping to come out of it going, you know what? Like, yeah, I prefer the Nolan ones and like things have definitely changed since then, but like these are cool and fun in their own way. And they kind of are. Like, again, I gave them both 3 stars, but like, you know, I hoped that Batman 89 would hold up even more than it did. Yeah. Anyways, let's just give them a little background for what we talked about last week and kind of how I felt about it anyways. Do I add anything, Chris, before we get into nonsense? You
know, like, yeah, it was... It's pretty much exactly that. Like, we went in, you know, kind of with preconceived notions of like nostalgia, and my opinion of it was different than yours going in. Like, I never liked Batman Returns.
And yeah, that's crazy, man.
I kind of came out going, I still don't like that movie. It's weird. It's really fucking strange. Like, there are things as a film fan that I really like. Like, Burton has a great sense of place and he's able to put those people into his Gotham and it looks great, but I don't like anything about anything going on. I think everybody looks good except for maybe Penguin. He's weird, like really fucking weird. But like in terms of like what you want from like coming from the comic books and like,
oh, okay.
That's like this disgusting
unfaithful
monster.
Like, yeah.
Like, who's like, oh, and he's just so sleazy. Like,
so this will age me. I guess I'm old now, so whatever. But like, the very first film that I remember seeing in theaters is Batman Returns in Utah. I remember the theater. I remember being absolutely terrified by the movie. This was like, 1992 or something like
yes.
that?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think I was 4 years old.
That is not something out of the ordinary either. Like,
yeah,
it is a very big reason why there was a shift.
I mean, I had a very vivid nightmare that I'm 31 now or 30, and I can remember the nightmare from when I was 4 years old of me going like desperately running up a circular staircase and having Danny DeVito's Penguin like rah, like running after me chasing
that would
me.
Terrify anybody.
Yeah. So like, you know, and as a fan of horror and stuff, like I kind of cherished that memory, even though it was terrifying as a kid. Like I loved that that movie had that kind of effect on me. So I do respect it.
I'm with you. I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, yeah. It's a creepy movie kind of, you know, for what it is. We're doing away with all that though tonight. so let's
get no, there's some creepiness.
I mean,
we'll get to that though.
Sure. Batman Forever, guys, came out in, let's see here, the good old year 1995. Yeah, June 9th, 1995.
Wow.
Budget of $100 million, box office of $336. And this movie, kind of as a response, like Chris, you just kind of touched on it. There's a change in the creative direction of the series a little bit. They thought that they got negative reviews or kind of more mixed reaction out of Batman Returns, and I think overcorrected or whatever, or like wanted to go in a more family friendly direction. And if I get any of this wrong, guys, like, let me know.
No, I think that's right.
Pretty accurate.
And Joel Schumacher, who's he like started in the industry as a costume designer, and has gone on to become like known as like a bad director. I think a lot of that has to do with these movies.
Can I? Yeah, I don't know if this is worth pointing out, but it kind of reminds me of Edward Scissorhands, the plot of Edward Scissorhands. So like you let Tim Burton into this normal suburban American, into every home of all these quote unquote normal clean families. And they love Edward at first. They think he's wonderful. Batman 1 comes out. They think it's great. The whole family can enjoy it. But then eventually Edward fucks up, cuts somebody on accident. And they're like, get this guy out of here.
Are you saying that Edward Scissorhands is like a reaction to...
It's an allegory for Batman.
did it come out after Batman?
Yeah.
Which one came out first?
I don't know. I would assume Scissorhands came out in between or maybe before. I don't know. 89 Batman. No, it was a 90s movie, wasn't it? Edward Scissorhands.
Because now I kind of want to get to the 90, bottom.
So it was before Batman.
In between them.
It wasn't Tim Burton working out his issues with the Batman.
No.
Right.
No, I think it was him going, DC, you should fire me because this is what's going to happen.
Right. Totally.
So, yeah, the idea here was to go with like a lighter tone, and in this one it's Two-Face and the Riddler teaming up against Batman, who we also are doing like the Robin kind of origin story here.
Yep,
and that's Batman Forever.
Which, you know, props to them for just doing Robin. You know, like Nolan flirted with it in what I would argue is a really unsatisfying way. But they just went for it. And they just created Robin and did his little origin story and threw him in there. And it kind of worked for what this movie was. Like, I didn't hate Chris O'Donnell.
I think it works here.
Yeah.
I think when we get to the next one, it stops working.
Nothing works in the next one. Yeah.
I don't think Chris O'Donnell is great.
He's a little old.
He's not great. And he is a little old.
Yeah.
But I don't think like anyone in any of these movies is like, especially like these Batman Forever and Batman Robin. Like, I don't think anyone is great. And like, you have some great talent here.
See, I'm going to totally disagree on that.
Okay.
But we'll get there.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to know your guys' take on Val Kilmer.
I think he's terrible.
Okay.
I think he's like wooden, like he's just useless.
Definitely.
And I don't know, man. Like, I don't even know where to like dig in with. Like, I guess going back to like the whole Robin origin story thing, like, one of the things I saw, I think Earl say about this film a couple weeks ago, and I like liked it and remembered it, like, I wanted to bring it up, is like that this is kind of like one of the closest, like, adaptations of the Batman mythos, like kind of like a lot of like the Batman stories in this one. And it is because of that, like, you know, Robin, like, at least that's I'm guessing what he was getting
at. They play a lot into his parents' death, and
there's Arkham Asylum, Two-Face,
and there's a lot of the correlations between Batman's creation and how Robin came to be. Like, there's a lot here that plays together.
There's a lot here, and honestly, like, I think it's a decent, like, for me anyways, I thought the story was kind of, like, a decent idea. Like, it sounded like a cool animated series episode or something. Like,
yeah,
like, oh, like, the Riddler has created this fucking thing that, like, everyone wants to buy, like, this weird fucking 3D TV type thing. And he's using it to like suck off people's brains.
He's basically that toy company from Halloween 3.
Yeah. I mean, well, except for he's not turning you into bugs.
Right. He's just eating your brain.
Right. But he's like becoming, like, I think the idea was he's becoming like smarter off of it.
He's feeding off of that, and it's giving him energy and ideas and like ultimately he'd be able to have your bank account numbers and your passwords. And
well, that's like at first that's a problem here too, because like at first it's described as it just makes you smarter, like that's what it, like the point of it was, but now then it's like at some point it's like no, he actually like absorbs all your fucking information and well, shit. Like,
I mean, I think I guess like, that's they use the term smarter the wrong way. Like he's like when he's first doing it, when he's doing the human test on his boss, and he's like, I feel smart. Like he's basically he just absorbed everything the guy knew. And so like he has all these new experiences and all this new knowledge in his head. And he's using that word like instead of like explaining it deeper, he's just going, yeah, I'm smarter now.
And I don't really know what the Riddler's end goal is other than like getting to make his thing that he wants. You know, like, is he trying to take over the world? Is he trying to just be rich and famous? Or I don't know. I think he just wants to suck everybody's brain out.
What does Two-Face want to do? Like, what is like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
he wants to rob banks.
The thing that makes me mad about this movie, I remember seeing this one in the theater, and I remember at the time, because I'm like a kid, but I'm starting to get to the age at this point where I can like judge films a little bit. But I was still at the point where it's like I didn't want to believe a Batman movie could be bad, you know? So I was like, I remember going to see it in the theater and actually going with like my whole like 7th or 8th grade class. Like, not the whole class, but like it was a big group of us, like guys and girls that went to go see this fucking movie. And I remember thinking like, oh yeah, this just gets better and better. I don't know how I thought that, because at the time I was a fan of the animated series, and one of my favorite things about the animated series was like the Two-Face origin story, like two-parter. And then in here, it's like,
well, they skip over the origin story for like, Two-Face. Like completely. Two-Face is already an established villain.
Yeah.
When you come into this, he's already been doing it for 2 years now. Like, and he's already like full gone nutso.
And he's like this cackling fucking idiot. Like
his henchmen all have weird piercings for some reason. They call him Face.
That I did find
weird. Like, Face.
Like when like in that opening sequence where from the bank.
Holy shit! Yeah,
like the goofy, like he Batman like cuts the safe, drops it back into the bank. And then, like Two-Face thinks he's gone. Like, oh, I finally got rid of him. He's dead. And then next thing is like you see the cape over the front of the windshield, and the pilot's like face.
Can we talk about the bank teller or security guy that's in? Yeah. What is up with that performance? Because he's like calling out everything that's happening. He's like, hey, that's my hearing aid. And then all of a sudden this water starts shooting out of the walls. And he's like, oh, it's boiling acid.
It's
like, what the
fuck, dude? So what Joel Schumacher was doing here is he was specifically going for that early era Batman cut. Like not even like the TV show at that point. He was going for like early Batman, like 1940s. Era Batman. If you've read those comics, like the side characters are always just explaining everything.
Yeah.
Oh no, there's acid on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, like that's kind of what I was telling Jeff earlier on Twitter, that Schumacher was making what he remembers Batman being as a boy.
Yeah.
And I had said that like that was the Adam West show, like it's campy, colorful, over the top, yep, you know, just having fun. But
exactly. He based it on the original comics and then on that original TV show, which is probably like his memory of
right,
Batman. And it's how he views Batman.
It's a weird thing when you think about it that way, right? Because it suddenly becomes less of a cash grab, less of a cynical making toys thing, even though it definitely is
not for me. No? Because here's, I'm trying to I was trying to tell Chris this beforehand. I'm trying to combine what you guys are saying here with a general, like just this general, like my feeling is he doesn't give a shit. Doesn't take any of this. He doesn't take any of it seriously.
I think,
and the reason he's basing it. No, I think the reason he's basing it on those old stuff is, oh yeah, that's what I remember as a kid. It's a fucking cartoon. We're making a cartoon, guys. This is what we're doing. Like, it's not coming out of this like deep fucking well of
respect
for like, oh no, the way Batman's supposed to be, Like, I'm sure, like, yeah, that's what he
thought. I mean, the funny thing about that, like, though, the funny thing is, though, you're saying that he doesn't give a shit, but, like, we know for a fact Tim Burton didn't either. So it's like
these two people
that couldn't care less about the mythos are handling it. And I think that Schumacher ultimately did, like, with the inclusion of Arkham Asylum and all, and Two-Face and all these things, and doing Dick Grayson's origin story exactly as it was. I think that, I don't know if I'd say he cared, but there was care more, or there was more.
Somebody there behind the scenes, whether it was or a producer that was on set, gave a shit about what Batman Forever was putting out.
Right.
Yeah, I get. Like, I guess they drew from the source material or whatever, right? Like, but that wasn't Schumacher. He didn't, do the script. I'm just saying, you could be of the opinion that Batman is supposed to be like how it was in the old fucking shit. And also, that could be an indication that you just, like, haven't paid attention to this stuff since you were a kid. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's what I remember when I was 8 years old. That's what I liked about Batman. That's what we're doing here, folks.
But I also think you have to
let's not overthink
where Warner was after Returns.
Yes.
Like, they were starting to go, like they even went probably further dark than anything that had been going on in the comics at that point with Returns. And they were course correcting. And it's like, okay, how do we make this back to a family-friendly film that isn't scaring Javi at night? Like, how do we do that? Okay, we're going to go back to the core. We're going to tell a basic Batman story. We're going to throw in, like, the origin stuff. We're going to have Robin in it. We're going to go to the basic core. We're not going to get deep on anything, maybe, but we're going to go to that core of what Batman was originally.
And you know what? I think that they nailed it, really. I mean, that's stupid, but like when I was a kid and I saw Batman Forever, I loved it. And I remember getting it on VHS and watching the shit out of that thing. I watched it over and over and over again. So I don't know. Like, I mean, I guess I still liked Returns and 89 a whole bunch too, but I think that they course corrected, but it more like, I think that they were targeting children. They wanted kids to really love this movie. Sorry,
very much. Like, it was, it was a movie that, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it was Forever. I think Batman and Robin really goes hard on the marketing.
Oh god!
Like, Forever had a ton of marketing with it as well, and
so did Returns. Though they all did.
Yeah,
they all did. But this feels like a toy commercial.
Yeah. Plus, they have the new outfits at the end in the final act. Like, come on, they're gonna sell those toys.
Yeah. This and Batman and Robin, like, it feels like it, like I remember I said to Chris on Twitter, I was like Chris made a joke about how, like, this opens with this, like, are you gonna take a sandwich with you, as Batman's like heading out to go fight crime and shit, and he's like, no Alfred I'll get drive through. I'm like, what the fuck was that? It was like a McDonald's commercial. And as soon as, like, I said that, I'm like, it had to have been, like, and I just typed in Batman McDonald's commercial, and it was the third one I found, and it had that clip from the fucking movie in the McDonald's commercial with this gross ass looking
burger
sandwich, like triple burger, where, like, this, but it goes, like, kind of sideways, like, oh.
I have some trivia for you guys.
Sure.
In the Drew Carey Show, there's an episode where he has the Batmobile in his house, in his garage. Is it the Batmobile from Batman or Batman Forever or Batman and Robin?
I'd say Forever.
Yeah, Chris.
I'm trying to, like, remember when Drew Carey's show was, like, popular.
The Batman and what Robin one is, like, here's kind of, I throw one thing out here, like, and you might not believe I'm going to say this, but, like, I like the look of these movies, and I like how, like, the car, like, the Batmobile almost looks like this souped up, like, toy now, like this fucking Hot Wheel almost.
Well, I'm gonna say Batman and Robin, Javi.
I only have a year, so I don't know actually which movie it's from, but it's 1997, so I assume that's Batman and Robin.
Yeah,
probably.
Right. I just linked a photo in the chat if you want to look at that, but. Anyways,
No, I think that is the I think that might be the Forever Mobile.
Did they change it between movies?
Yeah.
Like it has more lights and shit inside of in
there's another one. Robin. There's another one. I don't know why these are so low quality, man. TV in the 90s was rough.
Yeah. So yeah, like what did you guys think of like the change in visual style here? Because it's definitely like it's just like this candy colored, like neon.
Way more colorful. It's super bright. Like there's neon everywhere. I actually like it.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, I dig it. It's just that when you're seeing the city or like the Batmobile driving through the city, then it looks great. And there's lots of really giant freaking statues that are the buildings. Like that's really cool. But I think when you are like seeing characters standing on the street and then your brain goes, wait a minute, there's just like a nightclub laser show just pointing at them.
That's the thing I was going to say.
Yeah.
Like, and I kind of like it too, but it's like a lot of this movie is like almost like a black background with a fucking rave going on in the background.
Yes.
Like just fucking yeah, lasers dancing up and down.
Crazy.
Like
in the
opening scene when Batman's like doing the helicopter thing with Two-Face and it cuts to show Nicole Kidman and Commissioner Gordon looking up at what's going on. Just look at that frame because there's just a big spotlight just on them with like red and green lasers just spinning like there's just a disco ball right above them. And it's like, what is happening? This is the street. This is Gotham City.
It's amazing. Crazy.
Yeah.
It's like the complete opposite of Burton's like Gotham, which was like all super black. Dark, like black, gray, gothic architecture, which I like. But there was no, like, it didn't seem like a real city. This doesn't either. This seems like something out of, like, some sci-fi movie.
It's like a nightmare.
Well, I mean, and there's, like, when you do have, like, just the scenes with characters standing around and shit, like, it does feel like you're standing on some sort of set somewhere.
Well, it's weird, too, really is it, like, think about all these scenes in contrast to, like, any scene at Wayne Manor. It's like, was this the same movie? Like, this is like some wooden mansion with a fireplace. And it's like, okay.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, I don't know. So, like, it's weird because, like, this is, like, super colorful. But I really, like, I dig the look of this. I dig that they tried to do, I don't know, like, a lot of, like, the story and shit in it. Like, I think the story's kind of decent. Like, I think the Riddler's plan is kind of like a decent villain plot for like a more kid-friendly, you know, Batman movie, but like
I love that he like wears a blender on his fucking head.
No, that goes on the TV. I guess he puts the little suction cup on his head.
That's he puts it on his head in that first
that's right movies. with Drew Barrymore, is that right? I was gonna say Drew Carey.
She's the one in white, right?
Yes.
You got Nicole Kidman looking amazing in this movie. Like she still looks amazing now, but holy shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's things going for this movie though. Like,
but she
I like the costuming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she like tells, okay, so I'm going to vent a little bit about this character. What's her name? Victoria Chase or something like that. I don't know. Anyways, Chase Meridian. That's it.
Chase Meridian.
Dr. Chase Meridian.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So she sees Batman and like falls for him hard. She sees him like trying to take down that helicopter and she's like, I want that. And so she like sneaks up to the police rooftop, turns on the spotlight to get Batman to come visit her. And she's like, oh, black rubber. Oh my God. Yeah. But then Bruce Wayne like goes to visit her and he asks her out. And she says, I'm seeing someone. And he's like, well, you don't like the circus? And she's like, all right. And then they're at the circus together. And then maybe that's where she tells him that she's taken or whatever. But anyways, then she sees Batman and tells him to visit her because she needs him or whatever. And then Batman goes,
she's like, playing the field.
Dude, she's going back and forth.
It's not serious yet. You know.
I know. But like the second, like Bruce Wayne and Batman can't win because either of them is like, all right, I'm down. Let's do this. She's like, nah, wait, hold on. there's someone else. And she does this back and forth at least three times. And it happens. I'm like, holy shit.
You don't know.
Yeah. Anyways, that's all I got
to
say.
real quick, back to the city. I thought this was the one. I'm looking through some photos right now. It also had like daytime CG skyline. Like, that looks terrible now. It looks like it's straight out of like a 1990s computer game.
Mm. I don't remember that, but
yeah, they only do it a couple times, but it's amazing looking.
I don't know. I just, for me, like, despite there being a lot of things I like about this movie, the problem for me is Riddler and Two-Face. First off, they don't have great motivations. They fucking shit all over like one of my favorite characters. Like, Two-Face is just unexplained. And they're both fucking like hee-hawing all over the fucking place. Like, Tommy Lee Jones is like trying to fucking keep up with Jim Carrey. I guess they hated each other.
Holy too, shit, did you, like, you know that quote, right? That Tommy Lee Jones told Jim Carrey?
I was reading about it earlier today. And
it was something along the lines, like, he said this to him, to his face, on like the first day of shooting. He's like, "I find your buffoonery intolerable." Yes.
I mean, something like I would probably tell that to Jim Carrey too at some point.
But I think like his buffoonery here is amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think this movie doesn't need Two-Face. Just take him out.
It doesn't. Like, it could have worked as like a Riddler origin story and move on. Two-Face is just kind of there. And I get what Jeff's saying is like, you know, they don't really introduce him. They don't really give him any motivations. He's just, that's the problem a lot of these superhero movies have when they start introducing multiple characters. Like it's something that Spider-Man 3 suffers from dramatically.
You know, I think that I prefer what they did with Two-Face. I guess not the representation of him, but more the idea of, this villain already exists and has existed. Sure. We don't need to like have them go like fall from grace. They've fallen a long time ago. They're just committing crime.
I'm okay with that, but me personally, not for Two-Face. But sure. not even just that. But like, he's like this cackling fucking idiot. Like, him and the Riddler in this movie are being the Joker. Like, they're both trying to like do the Joker, basically. Like, everything's a fucking joke. Gonna laugh. It's like, are you guys bad guys or are you fucking, like, fucking bozos? Like,
like Jim Carrey's representation of the Riddler is pretty good. Like, that is the Riddler.
Dude, he's so awesome. When they have that party and he's dressed like Bruce Wayne and has a fake mole, like, that's so good. And all like the lines in that party are great.
Could you imagine if they like if Nolan did the Riddler, like that version of the Riddler, like something like some like Saw type fucking shit, like, I don't know, setting up traps and fucking with people, like, I don't know.
I mean,
I was thinking about that when I was watching this. I was like, but can you imagine like a dark, like realistic Riddler? That'd be fucking pretty neat.
Anyways. Yeah, I think that like you can take a lot of Batman villains, even some really goofy ones or far fetched ones, and then look at them through a Nolan lens. But I do think that we fall into a trap where the Nolan movies are very, very good. So we just kind of go, oh man, why can't Batman be like the Nolan movies? But like, I think that they're good, but they're not, they're like a very specific interpretation of Batman, like super, super grounded crime drama Batman. I don't think they're actually that faithful to the source material. I couldn't imagine, you know, Man-Bat, you know, in, or Clayface. Imagine Clayface in the Nolan. Yeah. It doesn't work.
I'm fine with that. But I think the Riddler would work in like a dark, like realistic.
Sure.
Also, Clayface was one of my favorites on the cartoon too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think, yeah, Clayface wouldn't work. I think Bane was a kind of a bad idea.
Did you ever see that, like, it's like an IGN article way back in the day, but they're like, could you imagine a Nolan movie where like, there's a bunch of like criminals in a room, kind of like that Joker scene, and suddenly they're like, it's cold in here, and you start seeing their breath and shit, and then some guy comes out of the shadows with like glowing red glasses or something, and it's like Mr. Freeze, like, that'd be so cool.
Yeah, a good Mr. Freeze would be good too.
Yeah.
Anyways, guys, yeah, I don't know. For me, that's the problem though here, is like, I like the Riddler's like plot, but I don't like what they do with the Two-Face. I don't like performance really from either of them. it kind of falls apart on that for me. It's not terrible. It's not the worst thing ever, but I'm trying to imagine me ever thinking like I want to watch this again, and I kind of doubt it.
Oh man, it's so quotable.
Do you have any like
and the soundtrack films? Rules, huh?
The Kiss from a Rose.
Oh yeah,
I totally like. I'm happy I let the credits play for a while because then all of a sudden like that started up. I was like, oh yeah, that's what this was from. Was this fucking movie? Yeah. There's a Smashing Pumpkins song, by the way, at the end of Batman and Robin, which I totally forgot.
Both of those movies have really interesting, like, top 40 kind of soundtracks. There's some Offspring on the first on Batman Forever.
Flaming Lips.
U2 on Batman Forever.
Yeah. Some good U2, yeah.
I don't know. Never, you'll never beat the Prince soundtrack from...
I don't like that song at all.
By the way, thank you for bringing up music, because I think the fucking musical scores in both of these movies are bad. Really bad.
That's like, interesting. Because yes. I think they're a downgrade,
yes.
But I respect them. I like the... I think that's fine. It's that's good, okay. Batman theme.
But. That's okay, but like the... And they did this in the Tim Burton ones too, but it's like the fucking circus clown fucking sound effect, like little like asides that the music does. Where it's like, like, and you're just like, dude, what are you doing? Like,
right.
I don't know if I'm making sense of what I'm saying there, but I fucking hate whatever I'm trying to describe, because it makes it all more like clownish. Like, I don't know, like. Sure. I guess I'll save my meanest things because we still have a whole nother movie to talk about here. Yeah. Is there anything else, like, I don't, you know, more specific things you guys wanted to touch on in Batman Forever?
Not really. I mean, I like the cartoonish take, the more turn back time take on Batman. I think it works as a great anti Burton movie. Like, it's the exact opposite of what those things were, and I still had fun watching it. It's goofy,
yeah, same.
But it's goofy in the way that I find, like, the, you know, the Adam West Batman stuff to be goofy. It's just like, this is my Batman, my goofy Batman, because this is when I was a kid and I saw it.
Yeah, I like the movie, honestly. I think it's average, but I don't think it's bad. I don't have any like seriously negative feelings about it. I actually have a lot of nostalgia for it. And like I said, I can quote a lot of it. And I think that some of the scenes are so insane that they're super entertaining. Like everything with Edward Nygma, like when he's trying to get Bruce Wayne to give a shit about his technology, and Bruce is super polite, and yeah. he acts like so upset, and it's amazing. Wonderful. Yeah. He like kills his fucking boss, and I don't know, it's great. I love that stuff. Even when he's working on his costume, and he's looking at his weird fortune teller thing that's already in his costume for some reason. And that music's playing and it keeps going no, and then get ~ light bulb or whatever. Like, I love that. It's really memorable stuff.
There's just so much stuff in it too. It's like when Dick finally, like, he's like, he's gonna be Batman's partner, and he's like, well, like, they come back after being out, and it's like, well, what should I call myself? And he throws in like the Nightwing.
Yeah,
like how about Nightwing? Like, it's just like, yeah, like, throw in that history behind it.
Why not? I totally missed that line.
How about the line that, like, again, this is more evidence pointing to Schumacher, like those Adam West shows. They have Robin actually say, "Holy rusted metal, Batman."
Yes, when he gets
the ground, off. It's all holy.
Yeah, and he like explains it, like cuts it back, and like
Batman's like, "What?"
it's actually holy.
Come on, it's amazing. Too good. Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
Yes. So let's move on to the next one.
Or I don't like the movie.
Do you want to give ratings, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm gonna give ratings. I'll throw one last thing. I think that this, like, I get the, that it's a departure from the Burton ones, but to me, it's like these movies, starting with this one, like lean into the worst aspects of what Burton did and take away the stuff that I thought was working and that it was good. But whatever. I think that's fair.
I think that like mourning the loss of what Burton had built is valid, because they did kind of just fuck it all up. But yeah,
I don't know. Which
as somebody that didn't like Batman Returns, I am completely okay with that.
And I'm no Burton fan. Like, that's probably
who is
that's like the peak for me. Those Batman.
Good question. I don't really think anybody's a Tim Burton fan.
Not anymore. Not since the 90s.
But yeah, we'll do ratings here. I'll throw one other thing. I think the Tommy guns with the little red lights in them, pretty cool.
All right,
three stars for me.
3 stars for those lights.
Yeah, that's three. Oh, wait, stars.
No, I'm sorry. Did I say three? I meant two.
You meant three.
I meant two. I seriously did mean two. I don't know why. I think I was anticipating where you guys are going with this. I'm going two.
I'm going three. Like, I don't think it's a great movie, but it's one, much like Batman 1989, like, I could sit down and watch that film, like, and have no problem watching it.
Do you guys do half stars?
No, we do not.
Okay. Short story. Shit. I feel like 3 stars is too high, but 2 stars is too low. But I'll stick with 3. I'll do 3. Give it a little bit of credit.
If you look at a 5-star rating, 3 is a 2.5.
All right.
So there you go.
You've convinced me.
3's right in the middle.
All right, closing that tab forever. Moving on to the final film in our look back at the old Batmans. Batman and Robin, 1997. Joel Schumacher once again. Fucking same guy doing the fucking music once again. We have a budget of $125 million. Box office of 238, so it was successful, but the budgets kept getting bigger as the series went on, and the take kept getting smaller.
Alicia Silverstone is Javi's first childhood crush.
Fun
in fact, Batman and Robin. Huh.
Fun fact: she is my first childhood crush in the Aerosmith videos. That she was in, three Aerosmith for like, but I like. Was like in love with her and followed her career from that through most, like, basically even petered out at the end. Like, it was weird because Clueless was probably her biggest movie, and then like after that, just it kind of petered out. Yeah. I might as well touch on that. Yeah, big fan of her back in the day. She's cute here too.
That's about all she is here.
What do you mean? She's like an all-star actress right here.
Yeah.
She's Alfred's granddaughter or something?
Niece.
Okay. That is a weird relationship.
Right?
Just shoehorned in there.
I'm guessing that's not even a thing. Like,
nope.
Batgirl is Commissioner Gordon's
daughter.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know which version. I mean, there are other Batgirls, but none of them are Alfred's niece.
So yeah, this time we have Batman, Robin, but obviously we have that in the title. We have Batgirl, and they're teaming up against Mr. Freeze, Poison Ivy, and even Bane in here. And this is, as we kind of touched on this before, like, perfect example of a bloated superhero movie where you're just like, well, this is a perfect example of a terrible movie, but in general, but this is like the blueprint of it. There's too many things going on. None of them are given any sort of like care, you know?
Yeah.
I
love that that clip you took out and put on Twitter of the little poignant piece with Mr. Freeze.
There's like a moment where they remembered, like, oh yeah, this is what the character's about.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I remember. Like, granted, I haven't seen an animated series since I was a kid either, so maybe I'm remembering that as like this masterpiece.
And that's when good. I go back,
yeah, it's holds up. Yeah, so like I remember loving the animated series, and I remember like when they did a character like Mr. Freeze, they would often do a 2-part episode,
mm-hmm. and it was part like, of bites.
Yeah, and like they like it was not presented cartoonishly. It was taken like somewhat seriously, and like, you know, there was allowed to be motivation and like sadness and something to the character.
Yeah.
And that's like just you have Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is, I think, totally wrong casting for this. I love Arnold Schwarzenegger, but, like, come on.
I agree. I love him, too, and I think he's miscast. But that makeup, at time when he's just quiet, like, and looking around, he looks really cool. I think it looks all right.
Should have been Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He becomes one of the things that makes this fun to watch in an ironic way, because it's just like...
Yeah, for sure.
Like, it's so out of place, and he looks kind of, like, so crazy, and, like, he's fun. Like, he... Don't get me wrong, he's fun in this, but it's just, like, not the right direction.
He seems like he might be the only one having fun in it.
I mean, yeah. If, like, really think about the entire cast and all their performances, he's the one that's charismatic. He's the one that you're like, goddamn, Arnold, you're great.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
I think, and I threw this out there on Twitter, too. Like, I think this is obviously the worst film, the worst Batman film that we've discussed in the series, the worst in the series overall.
Yeah, it's easy to say. Like, of course it is.
But, and I'm not joking about this, I think that George Clooney is the best Batman. Like, I had always thought in my head that it's Michael Keaton, and he's great. But, like, when I'm watching this, I'm like, this is the role that, like, he's meant to play. Like, he looks like fucking how Bruce Wayne should look, and fucking George Clooney oozes charisma. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And he was, that was like peak Clooney. Like, that was back when he was fucking like a total fucking, like, I remember, like, in, it was a little after this though, From Dusk Till Dawn. He's like a total fucking badass in that.
I think that none of these movies though have really given the whoever's playing Bruce Wayne, like, anything to do.
Really? It's, yeah, even the Batman is not doing much.
Bruce is hardly a character. Like, he's somebody that shows up on screen and has conversations. But he is, like, not.
And that's a shame.
Pointless.
He's mostly just trying to solve the you know, the crime, you know, whatever. Like, trying to solve whatever he's trying to solve in each movie. And then there's a little bit of, like, boy, isn't it lonely to be a superhero. I would like to have a love interest, you know.
Which, like, I know you said Val Kilmer's terrible, but I think that interpretation of Bruce Wayne, like, they pull him out, they make him, like, you get that realization that Batman is both Bruce Wayne and Batman. There's not a split personality there. And how that ties in with, you know, why he took Dick in. Like, I think that interpretation of Bruce is better. He's at least given some story.
Yeah, in
every other one, there's nothing.
I think forever, even more than maybe even the Nolan films, and maybe I'll regret saying this later, but I think that forever at least, like, flirts with the idea of Bruce Wayne having a really fascinating, like, thing going on with, like, why he's Batman internally outside of just revenge for his parents and shit. Like, the fact that he's, like, having these nightmares and he doesn't know what they're about, and then ultimately that I really like that line when he's like, I'm Batman not because I have to be, but because I choose to be. Like, hell yeah. Like, a story about that would be really interesting. But none of the movies do that.
Not really. Like, I think it's just giving you, we're giving glimpses of it with Forever.
Right.
George Clooney, though, does ooze charisma, Jeff.
Clooney looks the part. I can totally imagine him killing it in a really good Batman movie.
But it makes me mad that he's never, like, I would take him now. I would have him play an old Bruce Wayne who's training his fucking, you know, protege or whatever.
A Batman Beyond movie.
Yes, give me that.
Yes.
Fucking, like, I think that he is a perfect fucking person to play Bruce Wayne. So anyways, what were you going to say?
Oh, I don't know. I want a Batman Beyond movie. Yeah. With Clooney.
But yeah, like, everything other than Clooney for me, it was like, about this movie was just like, no, actually I won't say everything. I liked Alicia Silverstone, I guess, even though she does nothing. I like Uma Thurman. I'm sorry, I know it's corny. Like, I like the corny performance.
I think, again,
I'm liking this one more than fucking Batman Forever.
Cornier, like, way cornier.
Yeah, you could say Uma Thurman is chewing that scenery. Like, she's hamming it up the whole time. So, you know, I said earlier that, you know, Arnold was the only one that was charming. But like, if you watch her performance and see how over the top she's going with every line, like, she's pretty great too.
Yeah, she kind of like owns that role, and like, she doesn't grate on me like the way Two-Face and Riddler did. Like, I don't know, something about them two fucking yucking it up in fucking Batman Forever drove me nuts, dude.
How about Bane yucking it up as well, though?
And he's like kicking his fucking leg out like a fucking idiot. I mean, Arnold's a total idiot in this too, but I guess, I don't know. I kind of like him with Javi. Like, she kind of like chews the scenery a little bit. She's kind of fun.
Yeah,
but it's just. It's just bad. Like, this movie's just
everything.
Too much going on. It was rushed. They like knew it was kind of rushed at the time after the success of Batman Forever.
It, like, they lost Val. Like, it was originally intended to be Val Kilmer. Then Schumer wanted to cast Billy Baldwin.
Oh no!
Like, so it's like Clooney like took it on like right at the end. Right before it kind of all started shooting, so it's nuts.
He, I think he famously, much like God, what is his name that played Mario in Super Mario Brothers? What the hell is his name from Roger
Hoskins?
Rabbit? Yeah, Bob Hoskins. He's very open about like that was the worst thing he'd ever done and he regrets it. And Clooney, without missing a beat, he's like Batman and Robin. Wish I didn't do it.
he actively told Ben Affleck not to take it, not wow. to take the Batman.
And
role.
He was right.
Yeah,
he's right.
He's like, don't take it. It
will, I think Affleck would be a great Batman too, but. Just actually, this is the worst time for him. He was going through some personal stuff, but yeah. And the movie sucked. That didn't help either.
I don't know. I think what sucks about this is what sucks about Batman Forever. It's just that they just don't like, again, I hate to keep harping on the same thing, but it's just like, you have Mr. Freeze. He's an awesome character with like a cool story. And then like, you just have him making one-liners and catchphrases and shit the whole time and like laughing. And it's just like,
I think that's more like, and that opening sequence with like the fucking skating and the hockey with the fucking giant diamond, everything about like the first 20 minutes of this movie, I was just completely turned off by.
Well, we're doing for the first 35, 40 minutes, we're doing character introductions because there's so many goddamn fucking characters.
Yeah, because like after
nothing's
after that
happening
20
the
minute...
plot. It's just like, oh, there's Mr. Freeze. Yeah. Here's fucking Batgirl. You know, like...
Yeah, after that 20-minute intro with Arnold and Batman and Robin, we're then treated to, like, introducing Poison Ivy and then bringing in Alicia Silverstone as Batgirl. Like, it's just so long before anything even starts moving.
You know, the movie needed to really stretch out your suspension of disbelief so that you're ready for the final act when Gotham gets totally frozen over and there's rubber ice everywhere. Like,
I love I actually dug the look of the rubber ice. Like,
yeah.
I don't
it's
know.
It's so like, ridiculous. And then everybody cool gets thawed out and they're totally normal. It's great.
Yeah. There's like one part, Robin gets frozen and he like lowers him into some fucking water.
Yeah, some like, warm water.
Like, Arnold like turns to him and is like, you have 11 minutes to unfreeze him. Do you chase the villain or do you save the bird?
He's like, chill out, bird boy.
Also, like, 11 minutes? Like the dude's fucking dead.
No, oh, he's a doctor. He knows.
It's fucking absurd.
I don't know. Like, to me, this thing is not that substantively different than Forever. Like, it's just... It's just even more goofy, and the plot is not as good, I think. But like,
and I add in the fucking cartoon noises.
Yeah, yeah. Even more so. Like,
I mean, it's like I said, Forever was turning the Tim Burton ship in that direction, and then Batman and Robin is full steam ahead. I think that Forever still has at least a few. You know, a few elements of the previous films in terms of tone, it's still a little bit more serious, a little bit more dark. There's some, I guess, pathos going on with Bruce Wayne. But in Batman and Robin, there's none of that. It's just superficial lights and jokes and crap. and there's nothing substantive going on.
Yeah, like if Jeff thought that Batman Forever was a toy commercial, like this is the ultimate fucking toy commercial. Like from the start to the finish, it is 2 hours and 5 minutes of fucking toys. Like everybody, George Clooney is a toy. Like everybody's a fucking toy.
Yeah, this is when I was near the end of this movie. I said this on Twitter. I said, next time I have the urge to rip on Marvel movies, maybe I'll remember this. For as bland and formulaic as I find them, they at least care about the characters, and they trust that kids can enjoy films without you putting on a fucking clown show for them.
I need to frame that tweet.
Because that's what it is. It's like we're going to dance and fucking make jokes and shit. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like they're doing a birthday party show for you. Like, here you go, kids. Like,
And to me, like, it's more like, so I know, Jeff, you didn't find that those characterizations of like Two-Face or the Riddler worked in Forever. But for me, like that's like how I remember them from reading the comics early on. Like these characterizations of Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy are like completely off base.
Like, but he has his wife in a tube and he's sad about her. It's just like it.
Which they don't even like. They don't but he's like that. So like way late in the movie. Yes.
Like so, just trying to freeze Gotham.
Poison Ivy kisses them to kill them, you know.
Oh, dude, and how about rubber lips? Are mean
dear. Rubber lips. Holy shit! The lip condom.
Oh,
and then, like the whole like them being mesmerized by Poison Ivy and being in love with her and fighting about it, even like ridiculous, dude.
Yeah, but they lean into it. Whatever.
I don't know. I maintain that, like, I think we all agree this is a pretty bad fucking movie.
Yeah,
definitely.
I maintain that it's not that different than Forever, but somehow a little worse.
I watch Forever like I did a couple weeks ago, just totally for fun. Like, let's dive into this and re-experience that. Batman and Robin, I will almost never put on. Almost never. I could see the intro and be like, oh yeah, no, we're not doing 2 hours of this.
See, I'm surprised, like, with you knowing like your love for the Cheese Factor sometimes, like,
yeah, it's like, it's a step too far. Three steps like, too far.
But it's like, me too though. It's like, I don't know, like if I was gonna watch like a bad, really bad Batman movie, you might as well go with the straight dope, you know what I mean? Like, fucking mainline that shit and watch fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger say, let's kick some ice.
Nah, man.
I don't, to me, there's just nothing enjoyable about watching this. So, like,
yeah.
Like, I don't really think, like, I think, you know, Clooney's fine, but, like, his relationship with Robin is shit. O'Donnell is just phoning it in. Like, he doesn't give a crap at all. Alicia Silverstone is just like, I don't know how
she's asleep at the wheel. I don't know what she's doing.
Nothing here was engaging to me. At least, like, you know, I enjoy Nicole Kidman in Forever. I enjoy the villains in Forever. Like, nothing about this works for me at all.
Yeah.
Except for maybe the color.
This is worse. This is objectively worse. It's just, I didn't know we could get much worse.
You guys should do Batman v Superman. I don't know if you've watched that. Of course you have. We did
a long ass episode on that.
I don't hate that movie. Like,
oh my god,
that was one of our biggest like battles ever. Where I was just like, no, but it's not good.
I left the theater fuming. I didn't think cared. I didn't think I cared as much as I did. I was like, we need to go home and we need to record a podcast now. So like, I went home, we called Gabe, and I just like let loose for like an hour. It was great.
I don't know if I was fuming.
It was more bafflement. Like, how the fuck did that happen?
I went to go see it with my buddy, and it's like one of those things where it's like, I don't know, it's already weird to me like going to see a movie with a dude anyways at this age. But anyways, we're walking out, and I'm just like, we both looked at each other, and we're just like, nah, dude. Like, yeah. we're just like, you know, a lot of times, you know, when you go see a movie with a friend, you're kind of excited to see it and like
Yeah.
You know, of course. You want things to be good. And like, sometimes you will tell yourself that something was like, but this was one of the, like,
I'm still telling myself that Batman is good. I'm still telling myself that.
I mean, it's okay to like a movie.
It's not good. Like, it's okay.
I don't know. This conversation will turn into just being about that. Yeah.
Let's wrap. I mean, fuck, dude. I'm sorry. I don't have a lot to say about this. Like, it's bad. Everything's bad. They didn't care.
I mean, it's. I really think you can sum it up with, it's the way I felt about Batman Forever, but way worse. Like, it loses all the redeeming factors that may or may not exist for Batman Forever.
And I do remember when I saw this in the 90s. This was one of those movies where I was able to decipher Running for songs. Like, nah, that wasn't as good. Like, back then, I was like, nah, it wasn't as good as Forever or any of them. Like, this fucking really fell off the cliff here.
I think I had the same experience, because I remember seeing this in theaters also in New York when I was visiting my dad. And I remember I was pretty young in 97. We saw it and we left the theater and I was like, I don't think I really love that. I think you're a little older than I am.
I was in high school at this point, and I can't believe that they were still making superhero movies like this when I was in high school. Like, this was the standard. This was like the best that they're. That's the thing. That's why I wanted to revisit these two, is because like everyone's all into all the Marvel shit now, and everything that comes out is like, even the bad shit's pretty decent.
Yeah,
let me tell you about a time before now.
But I don't think people thought Batman and Robin was good at the time either. Like,
no,
that's what I'm saying. I remember when I saw it at the time, it was fucking bad. But it was like, this series, like the four movies we just talked about in the last two episodes, like, those were the big superhero movies of our youth. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, but I mean, it makes sense when you think about what came before that. That was all the Superman sequels, and those fell apart real quick. Like, after second, actually, it's just like the Batman story. Batman 1, really quote unquote good. Second one, a little bit less good, or people liked it a little bit less.
People have their fans of it too, of part two. Like, I love part two.
I like two more than one, but
yes, I love part
two. Superman or Batman?
Yes.
Superman.
Okay. So I don't think I've seen two, but
three is fucking weird. It has the goddamn tinfoil monster.
Oh, yeah.
And then four.
Right.
They're garbage.
So, I mean, and that's WB. It's the same studio. So it makes sense that they just repeated themselves with a different character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm wrapping this up, guys. One star for Batman and Robin.
That's where I'm at, so.
Same.
We're in agreement. It sucks. All right. It's one, we've gone on a long time about these two movies. Two, it's been a kind of a light January other than Glass, but there were a pair of documentaries that dropped in the same week about the same damn thing. one was Fire Fraud. I want to say it dropped on like a Monday. That was on Hulu. And then there was Fire, the Greatest Party That Never Happened, dropped on like Friday on Netflix. And I'm going to say that, like, we'll just open this up to talking about both of them at the same time and, you know, kind of what we liked about each one more than the other or whatever. Because it's all kind of about the same story. I think that each film kind of fills in things about the story.
Really well.
Yeah. It's weird. Other. It's like almost like a planned. It's a great illustration of, like, you know, you have two different creative teams telling the same story, and this is a true story, how different it could turn out, even though both of them are just people talking to the camera mostly.
Although the Netflix one, it's, you should note that it was made by the people that ran the social media for the festival.
Bias
in there.
Produced that movie.
And even when they're speaking in their own documentary, it doesn't mention in the tagline underneath their name that they're involved in making the documentary. It just says how they're involved.
Which is like
interesting.
Really shady.
It's kind of malpractice for like documentarian, I think.
I think, like, conversely, like Fire Fraud, the Hulu one, very much puts blame on Fuck Jerry, like as a company. Like, because they have that one guy who was at Fuck Jerry, who was, I think he was in charge of the account, actually. And he, like, he very much puts blame on them. Like, they knew, They knew all this shit. And that's what I think I got out of both. A lot of fucking people knew.
Yeah. Although the interesting thing that
it's like
that,
you work for a company. Sorry. I get if you might. They said it in the Netflix one too. The guys like everyone was like, "This is not good. This is not going to work out." Oh, are you saying the marketing company is that like specifically what you're talking about? Like
the marketing, they knew it was bullshit. Knew.
But is it like, dude, you're hired to make a fucking commercial? I don't know. It's just
But it wasn't. They weren't just hired to make the commercial. Like they were hired to do the entire thing, and like coming up on it, like they were being told to like block. Like Fuck Jerry was specifically being told to block comments, block any criticism, block anything that was questioning the festival at all, because
I guess wasn't
happening.
I guess though, I see what you guys are saying, but I also wouldn't put most of the blame on them. I put 90% of it on this fucking idiot, this con artist fucking asshole. Who that's this other thing we have to mention, like. He's in the fire fraud one being interviewed.
Yeah, who
they paid him.
Yeah.
Did you hear the the perfect little note about that where the Netflix folks were like, "We're not going to pay you to be in our documentary." And he's like, "Well, Hulu paid me $250,000." And they're like, "We're not, there's no way." And he's like, "Fine. All right, like $100,000." And they're like, "No, we're not going to pay you." And then eventually that news broke and Hulu goes, "Yes, we paid him, but not even close to what he was asking for you guys." It's perfect. That's that asshole at work.
Yeah.
So I do want like, so this, I guess we should maybe spray it out. This was the Ja Rule Festival. He was kind of like the head guy, like the out front guy. He wasn't the person that was actually in charge of facilitating.
He seemed, I mean, I'm surprised he escaped any sort of like
because
he was involved in a lot of it.
And like, the Netflix one specifically has him after the fucking shit went down, like on the phone on this conference call, like going, "We got to get back out there." like we got to turn this around. It this isn't bad. We can turn this right. Like, no, man, like, you know what the fuck happened? I don't know how he has escaped any criticism for this.
It's weird.
I personally thought the Netflix one was way better. Like way better. I mean, I thought they're both good. Like neither of them are like these amazing fucking documentaries. Like what I think it makes them cool is like it's a crazy story. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like a lot of documentaries, like some documentaries like coast on the like how cool the true life story is, and like I think this is kind of one of those. This is kind of like a story that's like right for our times too, like about how fucking gullible people are, and you know, social media, all that shit, right? Like, but I think that I liked the Netflix one a little more because like you're kind of going through it step by step. Like it's like this horror show of like realization of like how bad this is gonna be, where it's like, yeah, he. So next thing we do is we sold 10,000 tickets to an island that could maybe fit 1,000 people on it, like just shit like that. We're just like, oh my god, like, and we sold all these villas when we have no villas, we have nothing. Like it's just like, and it kind of like leaves that reveal to the end when the, like that all you see is the little tent city on the fucking gravel fucking shit. Like it was just like, oh god. And I like, I think like near the end of like the Netflix one, they do a better job of like driving the emotional point of like what happened to him. Cause like they interview like this one lady that like lived on the island who like was catering.
The caterer, yeah.
And she's like talking about how she like lost all her life savings on this. Cause I think she said she was trying to make it right for people that worked for her.
Well, they were coming up to her and going like, you know, I need to get paid. And she lives on the fucking island. Like what else is she going to do? Like, is she like, I mean, she could be like, fuck it. Like, I ain't paying you like that other dude who ran away. But really, like, I mean, ultimately she's going to live there. That's her home. So she put it out.
Like that scene hit me emotionally and nothing in the Hulu one really like did that for me, you know, like about him, like the Cuban fucking aspect of like people were victims.
The, the Hulu one did it more up as it was almost like a comedy. Like they play more on the social media aspect.
Like, look how stupid all these fucking influencers were and how they got fucked over, which like, don't get me wrong. That's part of the appeal of this. That's part of the appeal of it. Like,
it's like, and there is like the, you know, the fact that there are still hundreds of workers that worked 24 hours, 48 hours straight trying to get this shit together and never got paid.
And then, you know, like look at what's happening with our government shutdown right now. Look at what Donald Trump's done his whole life. Like, I immediately thought of him as I was watching the Netflix one, right? I'm like, this guy is just like a fucking Donald Trump. It's like the same thing. Like, then somehow Donald Trump ended up in the White House. And it's like the Netflix one kind of trusts you to put that together on your own. And then the Hulu one's like, you guys, you know what this is like? It's like Donald Trump. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But I don't know. They're both good. Like, again, it's a fascinating story. Like, it's just like it is kind of like a cool microcosm of like almost everything that's wrong with the world today. Into just the stupid music festival thing.
I liked both, and I think both were good. I think I did have like issue with the Netflix one specifically in that they tried to paint it all as this one dude was, he is the ultimate culprit. Like, you can't tell me that, like, out of all these employees, out of all these people, that nobody else questioned it. Like,
well, the one guy did say, he's like, I sent an email and he's like, I want you guys to imagine thousands of people showing up who are like these fucking YouTube people, and we don't have anywhere to put them, and it turns into a nightmare scenario. And they were just like, whatever.
Yeah, it's because they're like, and like the way the Netflix one paints it though is like, oh well, Billy was going to pull it through in the end. What gave you any indication that this fucker was going to do that?
I think it's just like positive
thinking. He's like,
he's telling you to go suck dick to get some water. What the fuck makes you think he's going to pull this shit out?
Yeah, that was crazy. This Billy guy, though, like I think a few years down the line, we're going to see, you know, a Wolf of Wall Street kind of freaking movie about that guy and just what a weird con man, like sociopath. Because like
the best part of the piece is in both movies is after he gets caught and he's out on bond, he starts more scams.
Yes,
like that is the most wild to me. It's the most wild part of the whole thing. The balls to do that. It's just like he can't control himself.
It's who he is.
He is. Yeah, like his reflex is to rip people off.
Yeah, it's worked so far. Well, I guess not, but it worked.
It didn't work out.
It worked up until that point. Like,
yeah,
up until he tried to do the ultimate scam and set up a fucking festival that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Also, the app is the dumbest fucking idea I've ever heard of in my fucking life. Look, if you're rich enough that you could fucking like hire bands to come fucking play your birthday party, you could probably find the number of that person's fucking agent and just fucking hire them. That, like, what are you talking about here? Yeah, you'd be fucking booking like whoever the fuck for your birthday party. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, I don't know. I saw them describe the premise for that app, and I'm like, that's so out of my, you know, my worldview that maybe that's a good idea. I don't know. How many rich people are there that have quinceañeras and they want like Coldplay to come or something like that? You know, like, I don't know. I don't know if there's enough people to support something like that. Probably not.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think so.
Maybe this is how Ja Rule escaped any sort of justice for this, because he's so fucking stupid. Like, he bought into this, like, and like after this all went down, he went and he did another one of these, like these talent,
like another same app. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's a dumb idea. It's a really dumb idea, I think. Like, yeah, obviously there's only a handful of rich people and they probably all have each other's fucking number. So like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like you're solving a problem that does not exist whatsoever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, is that really something that happens though? Like people are like, oh, we're gonna have like a Sweet 16 and you can have Coldplay come play.
I'm sure
they really sure do it is. It's fucking weird.
I mean, like when there's
if you're willing to pay, why not?
Rich people.
I mean, think about it this way. Well, I mean, this is totally a bigger thing, but like when my company has a corporate event or whatever, they have like Green Day come, or not Green Day, Weezer or whatever, like big stars, and they're paid in probably the same way. Like, hey, will you perform at this event?
Sure.
Here's the money, and then they come and do it. But
that's exactly it. It's like your corporation,
right,
doesn't need a fucking app to do that. They got means. Like, I mean, I guess right, it's sure. Make it easier. Like,
somebody like, has the phone app. Number.
But I'm just saying, like, fundamentally, like it's the same thing whether yeah, it's for a birthday party or a wedding or a party. Yeah.
Yeah, it's but as Jeff said, like I'm sure that like I'm sure somebody in your company has access to like maybe not directly to Green Day, but they know like the talent agency that reps them.
People in high places can get in touch with each other.
Right.
Here's the thing: when I'm a rich person, like I'm a millionaire, billionaire, and I want something to happen, I go, "Hey, assistant."
Figure it out.
That's my fucking app, my assistant. Like, which, get me fucking this.
Which is kind of amusing in relation to Fire because they turn to this like 22-year-old kid who's never booked anything in his entire life. Like, book the acts.
Yeah.
So he doesn't know what he's doing, and he's booking them for like 3 and 4 times more than what they would normally get. And of course, there's no money, but the entire thing's nuts.
Like, how brazen you got to be to, like, keep offering things that you don't have, just left and right. And you offer something bigger to someone else to justify the last thing that you don't have.
Right.
It happens like, over and over. It is kind of that, like, business school corporate fucking mentality, though, where it's just like, guys, I don't need fucking naysayers in the room right now. We need positive thinkers and people who are going to get the job done. Like,
yeah.
Okay, how?
Yeah, it's like in that.
I'm a big picture guy. Don't you guys figure out the big? You can figure out the details.
In that corporate call after the fucking nightmare went down, like I think it was like the Monday morning afterwards, and Ja Rule and like I think Ja Rule's on the call, and Billy McFarland is actually at the table on the conference call, and like there are employees asking questions like, "What the fuck?" And the two of them are like doing exactly that. No, like we need positivity. Like.
Well, it was like anytime they brought up a logistical problem to him, like, you know, hey,
I don't want
to
hear it.
Yeah, we don't have villas. And he'd just be like, you are in charge of solving that. And you're like, yeah, but we can't. We don't have the time. We need another, you know, 2 years to do this. And it's just like, I need people that are getting stuff done. And it's just like, dude, that's not managing.
And he like hops on his quad and drives away.
Yeah.
See you later, bro. Like,
to me, like, that's. I don't know, and I wasn't there, but to me, like, that's a giant fucking red flag. I'd be like,
oh, yeah.
You're just fucked. Like, I'm out.
Like, what is the magic spell that this guy, like, he has to have something about him where he makes people do insane things for him. Insane things that don't make any sense. Like, because that guy, like you said, that guy that was going to go give a blowjob. It's like, what? That happened? That's real?
Never had that in like a 25-year career. Yeah, because you shouldn't have to go suck dick
and
get some water out of the fucking customs.
I was going to take one for the team. Like, Jesus Christ. It's not worth it, man.
That's the other thing the Netflix doc has is that interview.
There
is. And it's like the best thing about it is like, the only person that knew that like he was going to do that is basically him. So like he never had to tell that story. He still tells it. He's like, isn't that crazy that I almost fucking did that? I'm like, yeah, dude.
It is
crazy that you're telling me.
Yeah. I don't know. The story is just so wild and so, I don't know. Like it's such a sign of our times that like I enjoyed both of them. Mostly because of the story, but I will say one thing about it though is like as I'm watching the Netflix one, is it like you know, you have this horror show in your head building up about like, oh my god, all these people are gonna come and they don't have anything there, and then you see like these pathetic tents that they have, and then oh my god, like all their mattresses got rained out. Like, as I'm watching that build, I thought, the last like hour of this movie is going to be Lord of the Flies. Like, that's what I thought it was going to be. Like, I thought it was going to be like, we have cameras on the island and people are freaking out and fighting and like losing their shit and fighting each other over food.
Yeah.
Like, but like, it really wasn't a ton of footage of that.
I kind of wish we actually got that. Cause like some of the
stories you're
getting are like amazing. That like people were just like, oh, we don't want anybody near us. So they were just going and like pissing on all the mattresses. And
geez. I thought it was going to turn into a horror show. And it really was just like, it kind of like skims over that part. And it's just like, yeah, they had fucking cheese sandwiches. I was like,
you know what?
Dude, I would have been so mad. Even though they kind of deserve it, like, even still, dude, I would be fucking livid and you're trapped there, dude. Like,
well, the people that would have filmed all that. That like the, you know, the influencers and the people that paid money to be there at that point, they had already been out there for like 12 hours since
their fucking batteries are dead.
Their batteries are dead. There's no cameras left.
Oh my God.
I do wish we did see more of just like, I mean, maybe it didn't get like, you know, that bad, but like, it's a scary situation, dude. I would have been kind of terrified. Like, and they're in total fucking darkness with like hundreds of these fucking little dome tents. Like, oh my God, dude. It's fucking terrifying. It's
Pablo Escobar's island, man. It's sweet.
It wasn't even Pablo Escobar's island. They got kicked off that island.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we can rate them.
I'm at a 3 for both. Like, okay. I like both. They're both entertaining. The shit's nuts.
Yeah.
Javi.
Yeah, sure. 3. I didn't see the Netflix one, so I can't speak to that. But yeah,
I'm gonna bump the Netflix one up to a 4, and then the fire fraud at a 3. I mean, it's just a fun, wild story. But my recommendation, I think we're all kind of in agreement here, is kind of watch both of them. It's a fun story. It's cool to see from the different angles they have it fill out.
Yeah, like, they fill in the blanks on each one.
I think that like the reason I wouldn't go up to 4 is just because like I enjoyed it. It was a crazy story. It was a cool documentary, but I leave it about there. I've seen some documentaries like the first season of Making a Murder or that the Staircase one. Like there's some documentaries that are like incredible. And I'm like, I never knew I could be so invested in a story. I didn't really get to that point, so I'm sticking to 3.
Well, I would give like Making a Murder like a 5.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, that first season of that was fucking insane.
Yeah.
I have not seen The Staircase yet, but I've heard good things.
It's really good, and then it just kind of peters out. But until then, it's fucking excellent. But yeah,
there's some really good ones like that on Netflix for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a fun story. Just crazy, dude. So yeah, despite like whatever reservations you could have about it, I would recommend watching them. I had a fun time with this shit.
It's a train wreck. Like,
yeah. You know, just maybe take some of it with a grain of salt, you know, or, you know, consider the source sometimes because you do have people that were involved.
Enjoy the crazy ride because it's unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah.
What a scumbag that guy.
There's one thing I wanted to say though about the Hulu one. Like, I don't get why he'd pay to get that interview with that guy when he didn't say anything. Like,
no,
it was. Oh, I can't talk about it. I can't talk. Like, he wanted to say his piece, and he said it at the very beginning, and then he answered nothing after that.
What I felt made it kind of worth it because when you were talking about like, oh, the Netflix one was better because it highlighted this and that, and then the Hulu one didn't or something. But anyways, but like, what I remember about the Hulu one was them just kind of putting a pin in the story at the end by just calling the fucker out on camera. Just being like, you're a liar. You're like, you lie about everything. And the guy's just silent. He's like, can I just take a break?
Yeah.
Can I stop? I'll be back. I don't think you'll be back.
I'm taking a personal break.
Yeah. Like that. That was satisfying as hell. That was worth whatever they paid him. Just call the fucker out
to see him
and
squirm,
humiliate him in front of everyone. Like, that was cool. But yeah.
Either way, watch them both. It's worth it.
Yeah.
If you got Hulu and Netflix, fucking use your account once in a while. There you go. There's two fun ones. I have no idea what we'll have for next week.
I don't know. We'll think of something, though.
We'll think of something.
Are you doing another franchise?
Not next week, but shortly. Yeah.
Cool. Unless we can't think of anything else. but yeah, we'll be back next week. Javi, thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Did you want to plug your channel?
Yeah, go check out Critbox, CRITBOX, Critbox on YouTube. We do video game videos, reviews, let's plays, all that stuff. Yeah, got some cool stuff coming.
Now, I'll include a link in the description for the show. So,
thank you.
Come back anytime, man.
Yeah, this is awesome.
All right. We'll be back.
Sounds good.
All right, bye.
Movie dudes.